If you don't mind, I want to go right into the word of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, please stand with me as we read the word of the Lord. This is Pentecost Sunday, and it's appropriate that we read scripture out of the book of Acts. Chapter. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. One thing I noticed in this scripture right off is sometimes we ask the wrong questions. Are you with me? We always ask God the wrong questions. So today I want to talk to you in reference to this topic, the promise of Pentecost. That really should have been the question. How are we going to make it without you? That should have been the question. And as a subtopic, I want to talk to you about living a dynamic life, because really that's what the day of Pentecost was all about. As we begin to look at the scripture, Christians worldwide recognize this Sunday as Pentecost Sunday, the Christian holy day commemorated as described in Acts chapter 2, the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a violent wind and tongues of fire that filled the room and the disciples and the 120 followers that was there of Jesus Christ. Many Christians recognize the descent of the Holy Spirit as the birth of the church. It is also recognized as the day when mankind was filled with the Holy Spirit, the supernatural presence of God. Please understand me today. This filling enabled whoever, say whoever. This filling was for whoever believed that Jesus is Lord. And if you believe that he is Lord, that same Spirit was entered into those men and women, and they were possessed with the ability and the power of God, the potential to operate in the supernatural. Can you tell somebody, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have the potential to operate in the supernatural? This filling enabled whoever believed to possess that ability, not only for themselves, but God wanted us to be change agents in the world. Look at somebody say, he's talking to you now. He's talking to you. He wanted us to be change agents in a natural physical world, and we have the power now because of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us that we may be able to live a dynamic kingdom life. And so if you're not living a dynamic kingdom life, it's because you have not yet identified who's inside of you. This is possible because the Holy Spirit of God possesses, when it possesses you, we possess the full power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now hear me well today. The Holy Spirit that's inside you and I today causes and even us accelerate change inside of people, change in situations, change in systems, change in organization. Why? For the sake of God's kingdom. Look at somebody and say, we don't change for the sake of change. We change for the sake of God's kingdom. Now please hear me today. Let me take my time. Four different Greek words are used in the Bible to represent the English word for power. One of those words is dunamis. It is the most prevalent. Dunamis is used 117 times inside of the New Testament. In verse 8 of our scripture this morning, dunamis is the dynamic power. Say it with me, dynamic power. It is the dynamic power of God residing in the believer by virtue of God's supernatural nature. Now, it gives any person who belongs to God the ability to perform supernatural acts, such as miracles, healings, and living a life of moral excellence and kingdom fulfillment. Say it with me, a dynamic life. So this morning on Pentecost Sunday, I want to extend this challenge to you because we are living in some very serious times. They're very trying and very challenging, and sometimes it can be challenging to our faith. But I want to extend this to you this morning. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of your God nature. Don't you allow any experience to deceive you to think that you are less than and unable to compete or take on the challenge. You are God's people. You are called according to God. You're a chosen priesthood today. And I want you to say it with me. If God said that I can deal with this life, I can deal with this life. Can somebody give God a praise in this house this morning? Ain't no devil in hell can change my mind about who God said that I am. Whatever you're going through, you're in the process of being developed as a vessel of God's catalyst of change. He desires us to become every single thing that he's declared. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we see that God is the ultimate catalyst. He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Stop right there. What I did yesterday, everything you read about from Old Testament to New Testament, what I've done for you in your time, I can do it today. And if you believe that I change not, I can deal with you and do the same thing inside of your future. Therefore, you have no reason to fear for your life today and no reason to doubt my future about your tomorrow. Come on, I need somebody to get me. I'm going over here because ain't nobody listening to me over here. The dynamic life is a life where we trust God for whatever he says. If God say he can heal me, guess what? I'm getting up every single morning. I don't care what I'm feeling. I'm going to declare in my life and in my wife and in my home, I'm healed. If God said that he'll open the door, that he'll make a way out of no way, I don't care what I'm facing in life. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Therefore, I'm waking up with a praise inside of my mouth. Come on, somebody. Can you give God a praise offering right there? His personhood, his standards are perfect, needing no change. But humanity, look at somebody say, you and I, we need to change. We need to change into the perfection of an unchanging God. God's Holy Spirit was given to us to achieve many kingdom objectives. But one of his major primary objectives is to enable every believer to transform for service. So I got some amens over here. I'm going over here right now. I'm going over here. Back in the old days when we were little, you know, and our parents used to comb my hair and you get back in the kitchen where the naps were. And you start oohing and owing and it hurt. Are you with me? And so we start using the phrase when we want to correct something, we say, I'm about to comb some hair. Watch that. I'm about to comb some hair this morning. Watch that. You see, many people, they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior.
And somehow they forget that they've been filled with an almighty God, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. And they don't understand that if you've been saved and you've been filled, you've not been saved and filled to sit until he come again. Pastor Morgan said it this morning. He wants us to be dynamic. He wants us to go out into the world and to win people for the lost. That is the assignment of the church. And God has filled us with his Holy Spirit so that we can be of service to the kingdom of God. Look at somebody and say this morning, I'm in this seat now, but I'm going to dust it off, because as soon as I walk through those doors, I'm entering into the mission field. Oh my God, my God, my God, my God. We have been empowered to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, many of us, we stop at the speaking in tongues on when the Holy Spirit came, and they all spoke with tongues. And I'm gonna tell you, like Paul said, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But it's better to speak in a tongue that people can understand. One writer said it like this: preach the word, take it to the world, and use words only when necessary. Look at your neighbor and say, your life should be living out loud. See, it's not what comes out of your mouth, it's how you live. You can say one thing and live another way. Okay, I'm going back to the message over here. Watch this now, watch this now. The Holy Spirit is capable and up to the task because he has a clear view, watch this now, of every person's heart and mind so that he knows what changes are necessary in our personal life. Watch this now. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Watch what he says. He says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints by God's will. Watch this now. See, sometimes we like to pray for things rather than praying for the thing in us that we should prepare for the thing that we're praying for. But I thank God, Pastor Larry, that God gave us a backup plan. Because when we don't pray the things that we should be praying for, thank God that God searches the mind of the Spirit that's inside of us. And the Spirit that's inside of us know exactly what we need to change. He knows exactly what we need to deal with. We're praying for the next level, but the Holy Spirit is telling God, God, they can't deal with the next level until they deal with this thing. Oh, we were praying to defeat the enemy that's on the outside, but the Holy Spirit is saying this: they can't deal with the enemy until they deal with the inner me. I gotta deal with the inner me before I can deal with the enemy. Can somebody give God a praise offering right there? So the Holy Spirit is praying, but we will not pray. Our prayers are restricted to our own human proclivities. Some people praying for some folk to be hurt because they hurt you. And the Holy Spirit is praying, God, I need you to deliver them from being hurt. You know why? Because hurt people hurt people. Okay, I'm going over here. I don't hurt them. I need you to pray for my hurt, because hurt people hurt people. If you can't get delivered from your hurt, you're going to hurt somebody. Come on. I'm going back. Watch this now. Wait a minute. Don't get happy yet. Watch. The coming of the Holy Spirit was meticulously and strategically planned in heaven before the foundation of the world. You have to understand now, it had been happening since the old covenant. But this Pentecost will be different. Now, from the very beginning, when it was planned, all of the cultures came together in Jerusalem, all languages and tongues. And God strategically planned on a specific day in time when everybody was together that he was going to speak. And it was on the day of Pentecost that when those guys were filled in the upper room, ignorant men speaking and praising God in foreign languages that they never learned, You can't tell me that God was strategically and intentional about the day of Pentecost being the time when he would send his Holy Spirit to indwell his people. Now watch this, because it gets even better. The Holy Spirit, when he came, it would not only be the day of the Holy Spirit will come, but it will be the day that he filled the Holy Spirit, the disciples. It will be the day that the church would be birthed. It will be the day that the church would come out of isolation and that they would go public. Amen. Remember now, when he died, all of them ran different ways. And when Jesus rose again from the dead, he had to assemble them and he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to stay there. I need you to wait for me. So the church was in isolation. Say it with me, the church was in isolation. Now watch this now. Jesus knew that the disciples were not yet ready. He knew they still had some areas in their personal lives that they needed to work out. They had some issues they needed to resolve among themselves. So Jesus mandated a period of isolation. Listen, when things happen inside of your life you don't understand, it's time to isolate and pray and fasting. It's time to dedicate a certain part of your day each week to go in time with God where there's nobody. Turn off your cell phones. You start just talking with God. You go into that period of isolation because God is wanting to say something to you. And that's where this happened. Jesus said, you are not yet ready to do what I'm calling you to do. So I need you to go into isolation. Now listen. So when they went in, all the disciples, although they were disciples, that yes, they were called. Yes, they were chosen. Yes, they were sent. But they needed what Jesus himself relied upon to make his ministry great. They needed the Holy Spirit to fill them. They needed what Jesus prophesied about when he said, and greater works shall you do because I'm going into my Father. But you can't do those greater works until he come. But still, until the day of Pentecost, they were not ready. They had been assigned a ministry position in the kingdom, but something crucial, critical, was missing, which leads to my very first power thought I want to leave with you today. Power thought number one, position does not mean power. Can you let that resonate inside your spirit? Position does not mean power. They had to go in isolation to wait for what qualified them for the position. Please understand waiting. Say it with me, waiting.
Waiting.
Waiting is critical. Listen, David was anointed by Samuel as a teenager to be king of Israel, but it was between 15 to 20 years before God transitioned him to the throne. Look at somebody and say, wait. You see, because there are some things that you need to work out while you're waiting. Are you with me? Well, look at Joseph. Joseph was 17 when God gave him dreams of a position in Egypt. He didn't even understand himself. But it was approximately 22 years before he began to see them fulfilled. Because watch this, when God began to use him with the dreams, he didn't even understand what they meant. But through a few trials, somebody said, you got to go to the pit to temporary success. Into the prison before you get to the palace. Come on. Come on, somebody. Listen, it wasn't until Joseph went through what God needed him to go through to the point where he was able to interpret dreams. Because until that time, we see Joseph not interpreting anything. He didn't even know what it meant. But when you go through some stuff, look at somebody say, when I go through the fire, God is tweaking and he's pulling some stuff out of my life that need to be pulled out and he's transforming my mind. God is developing me. So when it's time, listen to this, when it's time for God to exalt you, you can be exalted with a spirit of humility because you know you didn't do it yourself. When God exalts you, everybody has already written you off. When God exalts you, nobody believes that you should be where you are. That's why when God exalts you, you blow your hands up and you give God some praise and you work and you serve serve in a spirit of humility, because had it not been for God on my side, I wouldn't be here today preaching to you in the name of Jesus. We give God all the glory. We give him all the praise, and we give him all the honor. Can somebody in this house give God a praise offering? Hallelujah. Can you tell somebody, I'm here because God determined I should be here. That is why the disciples were mandated to tarry. They needed to work through some stuff. Don't raise your hand, because I don't want you to lie. How many of y'all still working through some stuff? I wish I could raise this feet. I levitate. I'm still working through some stuff. I've been in ministry 42 years, and I'm still working through some stuff, because I'm still in human flesh. And God is working on what he need to work on one step at a time. Listen, when God is ready to elevate you, he'll put a time of testing inside of your life. And guess what that testing is going to do? He's going to touch an area he's not yet worked on in you. Well, there ain't nobody saying nothing over here. I'm going over here. Then I got holy over here. Watch it. I'm sorry, honey, you over there too, but I... Can you just whisper to somebody, say, neighbor, tell them, say, neighbor, you're not that. You're not all that. A pack of chips with no expiration date. There's some stuff still inside you that God need to work out. You know why God have it that way? So that there's no big I and there's no little you. I'm not super spiritual. Listen, at the cross, the ground is level at the cross. God sees us all the same way. Though I may serve in a certain capacity, I'm still that humble servant leader. And I'll say, God, wherever you need me, I'll sweep a floor, I'll clean a bathroom, I'll walk the streets. God, whatever you need. Can somebody give God a praise up in this house? That is why the Holy Spirit came, so that we can live a humble, dynamic life for God. I will look at my watch, but it's off. I turned it off, but I'm almost done. I'm almost done. That is why the disciples were mandated to tarry. God's timing needed to be fulfilled. You see, we live in that microwave society where we want everything now. But the word of God said, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Look at somebody say, don't move too quick. You know, even if a door opened to you, for you, you don't move quick. Okay, y'all got quiet over here again. Let me go back over here. They ain't saying nothing over there. When God positioned Israel with Moses at the Red Sea, the enemy is behind them. And God tells Moses, he said, that stick you have in your hand, that staff, he said, raise it up. He raised it up and the sea opens up. Look at somebody, say, the door opened. But they couldn't cross. They couldn't cross because God wasn't finished preparing the way. You see, so even though God opened the door, you still got to wait for God to say, now move. Oh, come on, you better get it. You see, because even though the sea opened up, the ground was still wet and soggy. And if they tried to move too prematurely, then they got stuck in their own deliverance. But God had to blow with the east wind and dry the grounds. And when the grounds were ready, he said, move. Come on, look at somebody and say, when God move, I move. Come on, say it with me. When God move, I'm going to move. I'm not moving until the glory cloud of God move. Oh, my God. Let me finish this up. I got to go. Watch this now. Jesus spoke of the disciples' assignment shortly before he ascended, and their critical need for the Holy Spirit's
divine indwelling and their power. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. It's not going to be up there, I don't think. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world. And then Jesus tells them in Luke 24 and 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. In essence, I'm going to send them, but you stay right there. Don't you move until I tell you to move. Because see, Jesus knew something they didn't know. How many know Jesus knows something about you don't even know about yourself? Huh? That's why we have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Now watch this. This is very important. Here's what Jesus was saying to them in modern language. He's saying, disciples, this is important. I want you to go. The harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few, and the sheep are scattered. But before you attempt to make a change, tarry until you are changed. Before you attempt to win others, tarry until I can win you. Before you begin your ministry assignment, wait behind closed doors, pray and fast until I fill you and indwell you. But you may say, Pastor, how in the world are you saying Jesus was saying, you can't go and win them until I win? Weren't they disciples? Yeah, they were disciples, but remember they left. Don't you think that they were humans? Somebody said they were humans. What's the time? Okay, give me about 5 minutes. Watch this. Say human proclivity. Blame game. What do you think was going on in the upper room? The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were in one place and on one accord. They said on that day. But what was happening all the day before? They're probably criticizing each other. Peter, didn't Jesus say that you're the rock? Your faith, based on your faith that he was going to build a church, why did you leave him? Okay, where were you? Judas, Peter, where were you? I didn't see any of you guys standing up there at the cross. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, the church of the living God must get beyond criticism, must get beyond bickering. And God is calling us to be one body, one church, one mind, with one agenda. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the Jesus Christ and to win this world. Can somebody give God a clap offering right there? They were asked to tarry, to wait for the same reason we are asked to tarry and to be still and to wait on God. Because we are facing a lot of crises in this world. Crises will come. We will need the supernatural empowerment within us to stay standing amidst all what seems impossible. Can I submit for your consideration today? In God's arena, nothing is impossible. In fact, I believe that God allows us to get to the place where we think things are impossible so he'll show up. And we'll know that it's him. Come on, you ain't got to stand up. I need you to sit right there. Watch this. Sit right there. I want you to put both feet on the floor. And I want you to take your right foot, lift it up, and do that. I want you to, it symbolizes this. Going forward, we're going to step across the threshold of unbelief, and we're going to go into the realm of possibility. Come on. You see, because this is where God needs all of his people in order to operate inside of this world. In order to live a dynamic life, we got to step and operate into the realm of possibility. Oh, my God. Well, I taught a leadership program one time, and I had the word impossible, and I split it up. It means I'm possible.
on. The next time somebody tell you that something is impossible, you say, no, see, you got it mixed up. You got it separated. I'm possible. Listen, because of who's inside of me, stay with me, no matter what comes my way, I'm possible. Why? Because greater is he that is within me than he that is inside of this world. Can somebody give God a praise offering right there? You're going to need that this week. You're going to need that next week. You're going to need that the rest of the year. Say it with me. I'm possible.
You must understand, and I'm almost done. Would I say 5 minutes? Give me 2 minutes. Why? You must understand they were dealing with their own spiritual COVID crisis. They needed power just like we needed in 2020. What was their spiritual COVID crisis? Well, can I spell it out for you? COVID symptoms. They were dealing with the sea of COVID, criticism. Because they followed Jesus and his kingdom message, they were criticized. Look at somebody say, if you follow God, you will be criticized. They were dealing with the O of COVID, oppression. Because they were afraid and stranded when Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. Look at somebody and tell them, he's not far away from you. In fact, can you just say this with me? God is in the house. And guess what? When you leave this house, God is going to be wherever you go. And guess what? God, listen, and just like he told Abraham, wherever you put your feet, going to be holy. You know why? Because I'm with you, and wherever I go, I sanctify stuff. Listen, when you go inside your workplace, listen, don't you know if you live a holy life, you preserve that workplace? Let me go on back. Ain't nobody helping me. No, y'all ain't helping me. I'm going right back to the word. Come on, watch this now. The V of COVID meant that they were visionless. They couldn't see the future because they didn't quite grasp the magnitude of the kingdom assignment. And the I in COVID, their COVID, was incompetency because they lacked courage. They abandoned Jesus when he needed them the most. And the D of COVID, their D, was division. Because they were debating about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Look at your neighbor and say, there's no debate there. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Come on. I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great. Nobody great. Nobody greater than you. But see, they hadn't discovered that yet. Only one was assigned to sit on God's right hand, and that was Jesus Christ. I'm about to close, Brother Larry. You can come on up. Listen now. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Luke records that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place on one accord in unity. So I need you to hear me well today, Restoration Church. Sometime God has to shut us down and shut us in to get us to that one place where he needs us so that we can be one with him, so that we can become everything that he's declared and we can receive everything that he's predestined for our life. From a historical point of view, Pentecost is a day of the Holy Spirit where God indwelled the followers of Jesus Christ to be change agents. But there was something else that was happening. There was a divine shift. On that day, the law transitioned from being the letter of revelation to a spirit-filled revolution. On that day, religious legalism was replaced by a supernatural movement called the church of the living God.
Yeah.
And the disciples needed power, not only to change people, but to be changed themselves. In conclusion today, the question for us as we sit here and as we begin to just reflect over what was said today, what kind of people, this is the question I want to pose to us. What kind of people are we now? And who does God desire us to become? I don't care how much you've achieved in life. You still have not attained to the fullness of what God has for your life. Whether you're 8 or 80, if you're still breathing, God is not through with you yet. Can I declare this in your life? If you are still breathing, the best of your life is not behind you, it's ahead of you. I'm going to say it again. If you are still breathing, come on, it's His breath that I have in my lungs. That's why we poured our praise to Him.
Yeah.
So if you are still living today, the best of your life is not behind you. The best of your life is yet ahead of you. So every morning I wake up with anticipation. God, what are you going to do next? If we are still more interested in position than in service, more in religion than our relationship with God, then we need to tarry in a modern day 2025 Jerusalem isolation, lockdown, go into prayer and fasting until God transform you. Let me give you this last power thought before we go into a prayer. Like the disciples on the day of Pentecost, we shouldn't come out of our isolation, our time of prayer and fasting, the same person that went in. Why? Well, look at our power thought. Isolation without transformation leads to perpetuation. Are you with me? What do you mean? This is what I mean. Perpetuation means the same thing continue. If you went into holy isolation as a critical person and you didn't change, that's the person that's going to emerge. If you went into isolation, a bitter person, and didn't change, that is the person that will emerge. If you go into a holy isolation, a divisive person, and you do not change, that is the person that will emerge. And so today, I want us all to stand. I want us like the disciples. I want us to go into a time of prayer, and I want us to emerge different people. I want your anointing, the fresh anointing of God, to be renewed inside of your lives today. God has been empowering us from the time of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I know to be true. When tough times come, you're going to need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help you move through some stuff. You're going to need Him to help you hang in there. You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in truth and in the Word of God. And you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to change so that you can change some things. So while every head is bowed and every eye is closed and the people of God are praying, I want you today to allow the Holy Spirit to help you to assess where you are with God. I can't call you out. I won't do that. I'm just going to ask you to be honest and authentic with yourself. If there's a need that you need met, God needs to meet something inside of you before He meets that need. And if you're willing to stand before this altar today and let God work it out inside of your life, if you're looking for that next new season to come in your life, know that there's a next new development inside of your spirit that needs to happen. God needs to develop you before He can release what He wants in your life. I want you to step out of that aisle today. We're just going to take a few moments. I need you to hurry. If you need healing, if you need deliverance, if you need God to touch your life and to help you to understand or to visualize what's next, what do I need to work on next? If you're struggling and you already know that you're struggling with a certain issue that's keeping you from being everything that God has declared, I need you to step down front. Because this day is all we are promised. And this day is the only day you have to work with. Tomorrow is not promised to us. And while they're coming, I would that the ministers and altar workers of this church, if you would come and you would stand behind them and lay your hands upon them and pray with them. I need you to understand, we don't need to be here all day to do this. God can work it out. In fact, when you walk down those aisles, God saw your heart, and the process of what you need began right then. But I just need you to come and just lay hands upon them. Those of you that are still inside of your seats, I want you to stretch your hands this way. And whatever you need, I need you to pray to God yourself. And we're going to stand with you and pray with you that God will hear and answer your prayer. And know this, just in case you miss something, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who searches the heart and the mind of the believer, who is able to intercede on our behalf with God, and he will speak on your behalf. So right now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and the people of God, we are praying. God, our Father, we pray boldly for spiritual progress and maturity. We ask that your Holy Spirit deepen our understanding and our growth in godliness. God, you made us. You know all about us. We pray as we submit ourselves to you that you would purify us, oh God, that you prepare our hearts for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, preparing us for the battles and the challenges that lie ahead. God, let your power fall on us and change our hearts. Open heaven wide and pour out the rain of your Holy Spirit over our church and over our lives today. Dear Father, we so humbly pray, we ask that you change us. That God, you renew us. That you empower us, dear God. We need your touch again. God, help us to comprehend that this person of power is living and breathing in us. And he's there to help us, dear God, to activate this power. Help us, dear God, to be aware of this power, this person of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And Father, may we yield to his voice, his impressions. Father, our hearts long to be overcome by your presence. God, we need you. God, never leave us. We can't do life without you. Father, like a mighty rushing wind, I pray that you fill this place. I pray that you baptize us with your fire once again. Father, may the Spirit of truth rest upon us and indwell us. Teach us all of your mighty works. Show us the way, God. Help us to navigate this life. God, bring to the remembrance of our spirit the words of Jesus Christ. Guide us into all truth. God, give us power in our time of weakness. Help us to live. Help us to speak your word with boldness. Father, from my left to my right, before we end this prayer, I pray specifically for the needs of every single individual that have stepped out of those aisles and walked down to this altar, who has declared that they're going to depend upon you no matter what. God, and from this day forward, I pray that you bring a shift inside of their life, a shift in their spirit, a shift in their thinking, a shift inside their relationship with you, a shift in their relationship with others. I pray for a divine shift, dear God, inside of their homes, a shift, dear God, inside of their workplace, a shift, dear God, inside of their communities. God, let this be a new day for all of your people around this world. Help us, oh God, as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, to become everything that you have declared. And Father, while you're moving us forward by faith and not by fear, help us to stay humble. Help us to keep our mind stayed upon you. Help us to stand shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters, that we may all prosper together, live for you. And God, to live in a way that the world may see that you are the Almighty God. Help us to preach the word in season and out of season, and use words only when necessary. May our life exemplify the righteousness of your kingdom. Father, this is my prayer today. We pray it with thanksgiving. We pray it with a spirit of anticipation, knowing that you've heard and answered our prayer. And we pray it in the only name that matters, the majestic, strong name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,